So tonight I wanted to examine a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I skipped the announcement, so if y'all want those, talk to me about it afterwards. I apologize. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I remember a preacher a while back preaching about something. I don't remember what he was preaching on. But somewhere during his message, he mentioned this idea of an enlarged heart. An enlarged heart. I think he read a verse that mentioned it. He said something along the lines of, you should search it out sometime. His message wasn't on that. But this has been some time ago, and that stuck with me. And I searched it out. And it's a blessing to me, and hopefully this message will be a blessing to you as well. So coming off the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the latter part, Paul is talking to this church at Corinth about the ministry of reconciliation. This is where he besought them to live for Christ as a new creature. That verse that we all know, that behold, all things are become new as a new creature. We're aware of it. So he's talking to them to live for Christ and to be reconciled to God. This ministry of reconciliation at the end of 2 Corinthians 5. And so coming off the back of that, we get into chapter number 6. And we'll start reading in verse number 1. It says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. We're going to be taking a brief look at this, as the Lord allows and time allows. But the point tonight is to enlarge our hearts. In verse number 11 there, Paul makes a statement, our heart is enlarged. Of whom is he speaking? Who's the our in that verse? Go ahead. Let me know. Who's he talking about? When he says our heart is enlarged, who's he talking about? He's talking about himself. Anyone else?
I take it he's talking about us.
No, he's not talking about all of us there.
He says, oh, ye Corinthians.
Yeah, he's talking to them, but he said, our heart is enlarged. If you go back all the way to chapter 1 and verse number 1, you're going to find that it's Paul and Timothy that are writing the epistle. So the R there is definitely them. if you read on down in verse in chapter number 1 and verse 19, he includes Silvanus. Who's Silvanus? He goes by another name. Silas is the one that we know him by. So at a minimum, he's talking about these three. But I think the idea here is that Paul is talking about himself and his team, his ministerial team. Okay? So he's making a statement here that he and his team, their hearts have been enlarged. It's already happened. He then goes on in verse 13 to address us, well, to address the church at Corinth specifically. And he says in 13, what does he say? Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. So it had already occurred, it already happened in his life and in the life of his ministerial team. And he wanted that same thing for the church at Corinth. This phrase, be ye also enlarged, is actually a command as we see it in the Greek. And I think it's obvious that this command was not only to that church at Corinth, but goes all the way down through the churches, down through time, and hits us square on the head today. So we're to follow this command too. But in order to follow the command, we have to have some kind of understanding of it, right? We need to know what does that mean. Well, the word itself in the Greek, platunio, means to widen or to make broad or enlarge. That's according to the Strong's. According to Thayer's, same thing, make broad and large, or be enlarged in heart, i.e. to welcome and embrace you in love. This word enlarge. So as we've seen, Paul uses the word twice. It's the same word in verse number 11, verse number 13. Same word in the Greek. The difference in verse 11 is that he uses it as a statement of fact. Again, it's already happened to him and his team. And then in verse 13, he's using it as a command. Now, interestingly, looking at the grammar, the command that we see in verse number 13 is in the passive voice. What does that mean, Brother Ricky? You're in grammar, passive voice? Passive voice is whatever the action that's happening is being done to the subject, right? Somebody or something else is acting upon the subject. And that's rather strange in a command, is it not? You're commanded to have somebody else do something to you? We can understand it by saying that the command is for us to allow our hearts to be enlarged. This is something we cannot do ourselves. It rather has to be done to us. I think it is clear that God is the one that will enlarge our hearts. And so the command for us is simply to allow Him to do that. So there are some things that we can take heed to, that we can do on our side to allow this to happen. But I want to start with how to not enlarge our hearts. This particular Greek word, platuno, only appears three times in the entire New Testament. Just three times. And it's used, the positive sense and the negative sense. And interestingly, I want to go to where it's used in the negative sense. We've got it twice here in our passage, but let's go back to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 5. Matthew 23 and verse number 5, Jesus said, "But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." Here, our word in the Greek is translated, "they make broad." Those three words there in that passage. And he's speaking of the phylacteries that the scribes and the Pharisees were putting on. What are the phylacteries, Brother Bruce?
They put on their forehead and on their arm little leather boxes that contain a verse of Scripture.
That's right. And then they have a strap, right, that they wrap around the arm. And so, again, this making broad or this enlarging, that's the word that we're keen on. And so, what were they doing? Maybe they were increasing the length of the strap. Maybe they were fattening, making it a little wider. Why would they do that?
For show.
For show, right? And Jesus says it right there at the beginning of the verse. What does he say? "But all their works they do for to be seen of men." This is the reason why. So these were scribes and Pharisees, those religious, those self-righteous, the egomaniacs. That phylactery was something that God instituted and was to be a good thing. And I want to look at that for just a moment back in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." You see it there? We're talking about enlarging our heart. And he says, "shall be in thine heart," verse number 7, "and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." This is just what Brother Bruce was talking about, the forehead, the hand, the strap. But God's intent, God's purpose in that, in verse number 6, was for His words to be in their heart. In their hearts. The words were to be in their hearts, to be passed down to their children, to be talked about in the community and in their homes. But the scribes and the Pharisees, they flipped it on its head, right? They turned it inside out. They took that beautiful thing that God had so that His words would be in their hearts, and they turned it around and made the focus on that outward so that they could be seen of men. Their goal was not to please God, but to be seen and served by men, right? So, I hope you didn't lose your place in Matthew there. I should have warned you about that. But we were there in Matthew 23. Verse number 3, just back up a little bit. He says, "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So they did these things to be seen of men. They wanted to bolster themselves up so they looked like they were spiritual, so that they could have the respect, the praise of men, and that men, their brethren, would do what they said. And they wouldn't have to do the work. Skip down to verse number 11 there. What is Jesus one of us? He's using that as an illustration. And he says in verse number 11, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." Just exactly the opposite. So these scribes and Pharisees, instead of enlarging their hearts, instead of having that word in their hearts, they enlarged their ornaments, their outward, so that they could appear to be more spiritual. Their heart wasn't toward being a servant, but toward being served. So if we have that kind of focus, where we're looking for others to serve us, our hearts won't be enlarged either. I'm sure there's quite a bit more I could say on how to not enlarge our hearts, but I'm going to stop with that for now. So, how do we allow God to enlarge our hearts? How can we do that? We saw how we can't do it, or how it's not going to happen. Well, I think an obvious answer is having that heart of a servant. As Jesus said there in Matthew 23:11, I think it's a key thing to enlarging our hearts. Let's go back to our passage in 2 Corinthians 6. Back to our passage there in 2 Corinthians 6. And looking at verse number 1 again, this hit me as I was studying it. It's amazing. It says, we then, verse number 1, we then as workers together with Him. Workers together with Him. I mean, there's a couple of things there. It's just absolutely beautiful. They were workers, and also they were workers with Him. Now remember, the end there in 2 Corinthians 5, he's talking about Christ. He's talking about that ministry of reconciliation. So when he says workers together with Him, they were workers together with Jesus Christ. Is that not an awesome thing? To be a co-laborer with the Lord? I mean, He's awesome, so if we're working with Him, that's awesome. Paul confirmed it. Go back a book, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse number 9. He says it again. He says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. I don't know. Do you see yourself that way, as being a worker with Jesus Christ, with God? Wasn't just Paul and his team. In Mark 16:20, it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, speaking of those first apostles, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Maybe sometimes you think about serving the Lord or working for Him. There's nothing wrong with that. But what about working with Him? So Paul and his team, they were co-laborers with God. The apostles were co-laborers with God. Jesus Himself commanded that we would pray for laborers, right? In Matthew 9:37, then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. We're talking about a key principle to allowing God to enlarge our hearts in being a servant. And so, a question, what would you be willing to do to serve God? Are there limits? Do you put limits on God? If God were to say, I want you to do blank, or I want you to suffer blank, what would you say? God, I'll go this far out here, but no farther. I'll go over to Dallas, but no farther than that. I'll endure it if somebody slams the door in my face. I'm trying to talk to them about the Lord. I'll endure that. But if somebody calls me a bad name, I'm out. Are there any of those kind of limits that you'd place on God? What you will do, what you won't do, what you'll allow to happen in your life for you to serve Him? And I understand that sometimes we don't necessarily know that until we're tested. But it's good to think about anyway. Well, a question that we could ask then to follow up on that is, what did Paul and his team do? What did they endure? What did they suffer to serve together with our Lord? Well, let's go back to our passage. First thing that I want you to see that they did, they protected the ministry. 2 Corinthians 6:3, verse number 3, says this, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Do you think about protecting the ministry? Do you try to make sure that your actions, your words, your responses keeps Christ's testimony clean? Or do you just kind of say and do whatever comes into mind that might cause others to think, wow, he's a Christian? I'm going to give you a personal example. I don't like traveling. I don't mind being in another place. That's okay. But getting on the airplane or the train or whatever it might be, the subway, I don't like that. And I remember way back, I don't remember, I was flying. I don't remember where it was, either from or to the mission field. I think I was doing something with Brother Tom. And I wanted to be comfortable on the plane. So, I put on the sweatpants, put on a t-shirt. And I didn't know it at the time, but my wife engaged in a conversation with another passenger. My wife identified me as her husband, and that person said something along the lines of, "Wow, I thought Christians dressed differently." I was ashamed. And to this day, I try to dress appropriately, even if I'm just going for the quick grocery store run. Why? Because it became a reason for them to have something against the Lord or something against the ministry. Is it wrong to wear sweatpants and a t-shirt? No. I mean, they're full-length pants. I wasn't showing off any legs. Okay, whoa now, whoa. But it became a problem because it became a point where something bad could be said about the Lord, about the ministry. Okay? I wasn't trying to offend them. In fact, I didn't do anything. Didn't even speak to that person. And still that happened. So what about you? You think of any of those times where maybe you could use some different words or do something a little bit differently just to make sure that the Lord is not going to be blamed. Just to make sure to protect the ministry. All right. Protect the ministry. Serve and endure. Verse number 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and fastings. Wow, that's a list. We're not going to go through all of it. But, you know, he says much patience. You know? That hit me too. I have a little bit of patience.
Very little.
Okay, there it is. I can't do anything up here. But they had, Paul and his team had much patience. Okay? I know, I have it in my notes, I need more. I know I need more. I have that right in my notes.
David says two could be brothers.
Well, we are brothers. All right, so patience. Have you suffered afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes, imprisonments, and tumults? Okay. Well, if you haven't, are you willing to? Do you labor, watch, and fast? I mean, these are all things that are coming in that set up the enlarging of our hearts, okay? How was Paul and his team able to endure all these things? How were they able to go through it? Well, that's verses 6 through 10. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. It's amazing that you got a list of some very hard things to do, right? And very hard things to endure. Then right after that, you got a list of some mighty wonderful things that God does for us. Right there with us, in and through it all. Paul and his team were able to endure and do these things that we just mentioned because they gave themselves to the Lord. Do you see some hard times in there that they went through? Oh, yeah. But they weren't the only ones. Go over just a couple of chapters of 2 Corinthians 10. They weren't the only ones. 8. 2 Corinthians 8. Verse number 2. He's speaking here of the churches in Macedonia. And he says in verse number 2, how that in the great trial of affliction, hard times, right? The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, here it is, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They were able to get through those hard times. They were able to give beyond what they could do because they gave themselves to the Lord and to their brethren. So how do we get there? How do we allow God to enlarge our hearts? Well, we have to be willing to serve. we have to be willing to suffer. We have to be willing to give ourselves to the Lord first and then to others. We have to be willing to go through the same things that they went through. Remember, he says in verse 13, he commands them, 2 Corinthians 6:13, "Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged." I told you that tonight's message was to enlarge our hearts. God is the one that's going to do it. He'll do the work and make it happen. Our part is to follow Him. It's very simple. It's not easy, but very simple. We have to be willing to serve Him in whatever capacity. I think of my brother Bruce, and already serving and doing so many things, and worked in Mexico and worked in Honduras and all these other places, and had no intention of going to the island. No intention. But some folks from this church got a burden for it and wanted him to go. Wasn't on his itinerary. Wasn't on the list. But why'd you do it, brother?
God led that way. To the church.
And we love it.
He gave himself to the Lord and to his brethren, right? Isn't that right in line? Yeah, and I've been down there. It's great. And they have some good coffee too. Yeah. But are we willing to be, as it says in verse number 1 of our passage, are we willing to be workers together with Him? Submitting ourselves to Him, to His will, and to His commandments. That's the way to an enlarged heart. In Psalm 119, go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This is the Word of God chapter, but look in verse number 32. Very simple. It's great when it's so simple. Sometimes the Word of God is not so easy to understand, but this is. Verse 32, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." So, there's a connection between obeying the Lord and having an enlarged heart. So very simple, yet so very difficult. Jesus said in John 14:15, what did He say? "If you love me, keep my commandments." Then He went on in John 15:14. I can remember that because the numbers are reversed. 14, 15, 15, 14. So I can remember that. But in John 15:14, He said, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So this connection between obeying His commandments and an enlarged heart. So, let's ask the question, how large is your heart? Could it stand to be a little bit bigger? Maybe a lot bit bigger. Remember, the bad times are going to come. The hardships, the afflictions, the persecution, that stuff is going to come. But I remember a passage where Paul refers to it as light affliction. And in Hebrews 12:3, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Why did I bring that up? If anyone endured hardships, if anyone endured persecution and affliction, it was certainly the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was without sin, and he did them no wrong, and yet he suffered all that. And Peter tells us that that suffering that our Lord did was an example for us to follow in his steps. So those bad times are going to come. But if Jesus endured it, we can too. He's going to help us with that. And if you do, he'll enlarge your heart. Again, Paul and his team, their hearts were enlarged. And he commanded us to allow God to enlarge our hearts. But, you know, he didn't stop there. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 10. This is amazing. I mean, we went through that whole list, and there's so much in there that they endured and so much that they did. And God enlarged their hearts. But yet, look at his heart in 2 Corinthians 10:14. Look at Paul's heart here where he says this. "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly." So all that he went through and all those things, and God enlarged their hearts, and yet he wanted more. He wanted his heart to be even a little bit bigger. Is that amazing? That heart, that attitude that he had. God had done it for him, but he wanted more. So what about you? What a heart Paul had. Again, he received it from God. He and his team submitted themselves to God to be workers together with him. And you and I, we can have that too. We can have that too. If we'll submit ourselves to the Lord, to the brethren, if we're willing to serve, if we're willing to endure, if we're willing to suffer, God will enlarge our hearts too. He commanded it to be so, and we just have to let him do it. We just have to submit ourselves to whatever he wants us to do. Brother Wayne, will you pray for us and dismiss us, please?
Father, we thank you for the blessing of being here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for how that every word and every thought is put together with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So that we may be more like you. Lord, as we read and as we follow your commandments, we have the assurance that though we may fail, you never fail. And we walk not in our abilities, but in your abilities.
Amen.
And the work we do will be what you've done in us. And it'll be done well and be perfect.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, that we don't depend on ourselves. But we depend on you. Thank you for being faithful to keep your word in our heart. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any comment or anything? Anybody have a word for us before we head out?
Very good. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.